Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Happy New Year, family. This is January 2nd, 2019, the beginning of a new year. And Kansas City Christian Faith Center wants you to know that this year is another opportunity to grow and receive the many blessings of God provided by Jesus Christ. Before I begin with my teaching, I would like to pray over all our radio listeners. My prayer is that you will see in manifestation this new year what Jesus prayed in the book of John, chapter 17, for all his believers. Please accept this prayer of faith and walk in the authority of Jesus in 2019. I will be quoting from the Living Bible Translation. Let's turn to John 17, verses 20 through 26. Again, I am speaking this prayer over you as Jesus did in the book of John. Here we go. I am not praying for these alone, referring to his 12 disciples, but also for the future believers who will come to me because of the testimony of these. My prayer for all of them is that they will be of one heart and mind, just as you and I are, Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us. And the world, referring to sinners, will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, the glorious unity of being one as we are. I in them, and you and me, all being perfected into one, so that the world will know you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want them with me, these you've given me, so that they can see my glory or richness. You gave me the glory because you loved me before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. And I have revealed you to them through the word of God, and will keep on revealing you, so that the mighty love you have for me may be in them, and I in them through salvation. I declare this over you, radio listeners, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's continue with our new teaching entitled, The Holy Spirit, the Third Person of the Godhead. I believe that the Holy Spirit has led me to teach on this topic because there is much confusion and misinformation about the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. God wants you to know that this discord was intentionally devised by Satan to keep God's children powerless and ineffective against the schemes of the devil. Since we are beginning a new year, there is no better time to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues so you can live in victory, spirit, soul, and body in 2019. Again, this teaching consists of five parts. An introduction, part one, who is the Holy Spirit? Both of these parts we have completed thus far. Part two, what is the Holy Spirit like? Part three, the Holy Spirit's godly attributes, and part four, why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I trust that this teaching, based on God's word, not religious traditions, will be a blessing for all our listeners. For those who have not yet received this gift, I pray that they will be encouraged to do so. And for those who are already filled, I pray that they will gain greater understanding on how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead them in a more excellent way in Jesus. Listener, if this is your first time with us, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Now let's complete part two of this teaching entitled, What is the Holy Spirit Like? Last time we were together, we found out that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, helper, and comforter. Today we will pick up where we left off, and that is that the Holy Spirit protects us. Let's go to Acts 16, chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. The Holy Spirit warns us to protect us from danger. Let's read. Now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit did not permit them. Now, I want to expound or at least clarify what these two scriptures are telling us, and that is that when we are led by the Holy Spirit and we see an assignment that needs to be done, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to let us know if that is what he would have us do, because he knows the end at the beginning. So if he sees that there are issues, danger, that will result as of us going to a particular place or ministering to a particular person, he will let us know this is not the time. He will let us know when it is the right time to go to a particular area or people to minister. So thus far we have read from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit was given to the believer to help, intercede, teach, comfort, guide, reveal to us the deep things of God, to sanctify, and to warn us of danger. These are some of the reasons why our Heavenly Father has offered us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us to keep us safe and victorious over all the deceptions of Satan. With the Holy Spirit's leading and counsel, we will be able to live in victory every day of our lives. Amen. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, we must be mindful of how we treat him. With regards to personal treatment, we do not want to do the following. Again, we do not want to do the following. Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Please turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking to us. We do not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Verse 31 says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of God, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age or in the age to come. So we don't want to mistreat the Holy Spirit. So do not lie to the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Do not lie to the Holy Spirit. Verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. So family, when we have in this situation a man and his wife who wanted to be part of the church as recorded in the book of Acts, the beginning of the church. And apparently at this time, the people wanted to sell their possessions and give and live in a communal lifestyle. Now, we don't know for a fact, because it's not documented, that this is what God had intended for them, but they chose to do so. So as it shows in these scriptures, Ananias and his wife did sell a possession and they turned the money over to the apostles. But they lied. They said they got X amount of money when they actually did not. They had received much more and they kept back a portion for themselves. Now that's not a problem because they owned the property just like it says in the verses, and it was there to give or not to give. But the key is that they lied. They lied to the apostles, to men, saying it was all that they had received. Had they just said, this is what we want to share, they would not have been lying. So you saw the result of the lie. They lied to the Holy Spirit, not to men, and as a result, their lies were taken. All right. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Let's read Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Verse 51 says, you stiff neck or stubborn and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. So resisting the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is giving you guidance, it's giving you information that will assist, and you continue to resist him. You don't accept his leading, and you do it your way. That is not good, because the Holy Spirit knows all things, and he loves us, and he will never share anything that would harm us. So we want to make sure that we do not resist the Holy Spirit, but accept his counsel and guidance and follow his direction. All right, let's continue. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. This time I will be reading out of the Living Bible translation. Ephesians 4, 30 says, don't cause the Holy Spirit grief or sorrow by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Notice, don't cause the Holy Spirit grief or sorrow by the way you live. And Christians, this is a problem in the body of Christ. We love Jesus, we have accepted his salvation, but we refuse to live according to his word. We choose to do things our way. We choose to hang on to some of those sinful things we were involved in before salvation. And this grieves or brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit, because he knows that when you are out of line with the word of God, Satan has a authority or right to come against you. And we don't want Satan in our lives, because we know that all he comes to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. So we don't want to cause grief. We want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right, last one. Do not quench or smother the Holy Spirit. Do not quench or smother the Holy Spirit. Please go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Verse 19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, I like to just share what this verse is talking about as far as quench or smothering the Holy Spirit. When we are in a church setting, especially when we are in a church setting, but this can be an individual situation as well, our actions, our attitude, the way we reverence the Holy Spirit will determine if he can flow and manifest the way he wills. So we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit from operating in our lives or in a church setting. We want to give him full reign. We want to allow him to demonstrate or manifest as he wills so that we can gain the insight that he wants to provide to the children of God. Amen. All right, family, when we operate in this maltreatment of the Holy Spirit, we keep him ineffective in our lives, and in a church setting, we hinder his manifestation as he wills. All right, let's continue with part 3 of this teaching. That was the completion of part 2. So part 3, godly attributes. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. We have established this truth from Scripture in previous radio episodes. As a result, the Holy Spirit is deity, equal to God the Father and God the Son. Therefore, he has the same attributes as God. And just like God, the Holy Spirit has no beginning or end. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. And we're going back to the New King James Bible translation. The Holy Spirit has the same attributes as God. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit, again, the eternal Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansed our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So here in this scripture, the description is clear. The Holy Spirit is the eternal Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's continue. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere. He is omnipresent. Now, omni means all-encompassing. Just like our Heavenly Father. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 139. We're going to read verses 7 through 10. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere. Verse 7. Where can I go from your Holy Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Amen. It is an awesome thing to serve a living God who is present everywhere at every time. And the Holy Spirit is in this earth realm to share, to guide, to help, to teach. And his full-time presence at every place and at every time gives us the ability to live out our lives in excellence. We don't have to fear because the scriptures tell us that our Heavenly Father is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And the Holy Spirit, who is also one of the Godhead parts, remember God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. He operates just like the Heavenly Father in this earth realm. So we need his guidance. It is with the Holy Spirit that we can complete our lives in this earth realm with excellence. All right, let's continue.
The Holy Spirit has the ability to perform divine works. Here is another godly attribute. He has the ability to perform divine works. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to drop down to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So here is a scripture that lets us know that the Holy Spirit was with the Heavenly Father in the very beginning. In fact, there is no beginning or end for God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, but they were three in one right there. All right, verse 26, Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Family, I want to highlight a couple of words that let us know that when God spoke into existence, he made mankind in his image, in the image of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He used the term us and our. So who was God speaking to? Just like I said, he was speaking to God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And it was of their making they made mankind. And we were made in the image of God. So before we continue with the next godly attribute of the Holy Spirit, I would like to point out that according to this scripture and others like it, mankind was made in God's image. We are spirits first, just like God. And we possess a soul and live in a physical body made of the dirt of the earth. Again, you do not have a spirit. You are a spirit who possess a soul, and the real you lives in a physical body. Let's all turn to John chapter 3. I want to read verses 5 and 6. We're taking a little detour just to identify the image of mankind, who we really are, and we are spirits made in the image of God. Let's read verse 5. "Jesus answered Nicodemus, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, or the word, and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit.'" Before I expound, I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Here is another scripture that describes man, and I want you to see it for yourself as we read the scripture. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Family, just like our Heavenly Father, we are spirits, and then we possess a soul, and we live in a body. And all three parts make us unique. We are special before the eyes of God because he made us in his image. And he gave us this beautiful world to live in and to enjoy. But if we choose not to be led by the Holy Spirit so that he can share with us the deep things of God and keep us safe from the deception of Satan, we will fall for all of Satan's lies. Remember,
He is the father of lies and of liars. So when he speaks, he's not going to speak to you the truth. He will use his clever ways to deceive us. But if we stand firm on the word, if we do our due diligence by studying, hearing, reading, and then applying God's word, being led by the Holy Spirit, we will never falter. No, we will live in victory just the way God intended from the beginning of time. Amen. Family, I see that my time is almost up. So we will continue with this teaching next Wednesday, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So I do want to remind everyone to please continue to listen in, because we are going to the most perfect opportunity this new year to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can live that victorious life that God called us to do. Amen.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.